You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Janitor. Yeah, I'm like the kind of janitor night watchman. Because it's not my house. It's either the house or our house. One of the two. But it sure as hell ain't my house. Colleen, quit coughing. I'm gonna kill that kid. That's called quality parenting right there. Yeah, just walk by the door of the studio and like blast your lungs out. Mm-hmm. Nice. There you go. After you've already been counseled for it. That's a leadership issue right there, folks. It's going to be, trust me, that will be addressed. I can't address it right now. Actually, today's the last day of school for Colleen. Yeah. So, stand by. Vacation. Going to start with a little remediation. That's right. That's how you create quality human beings. How, you know what? I get the biggest kick out of parents these days. Like, how in the world can you create a kid if there's no consequences to their action? Timeout corner? I don't even think they have timeout corner anymore. Do they? Do kids get put in timeout? Timeout would seem to be draconian. You know? Yeah, that's my opinion anyway. Timeout too draconian. The yeah, kids run the show. Scary as hell. The question is, how do you parent somebody who you can't discipline and who escapes consequences for everything? How do you do that? Yeah, I don't know that you can. I think it's impossible. Hopefully we have our fingers crossed. I hope they turn out right. I guess you could plead with them, right? That doesn't work. Parents, man, you got to be when in charge, be in charge. When you say no, little shit goes to either parade rest or the position of attention, right? Oh, look at him. He's got a knife. He's playing near the electrical socket. No. Dude just continues at warp 4 playing with it. Does no mean anything to him? No, it doesn't. He doesn't really do no. Oh, let me give you some parenting advice. If your kid doesn't know what no means and go to the position of attention when you yell no or parade rest, if you're a permissive parent, then you're a shit parent. You're going to raise shit kids, and you are not instilling in them the structure that they need as young people to be good people as they get older. And you are going to fight with them your entire life. You want to know why? Because you've allowed them to think that they run the show. And that's not how to raise good kids. There you have it. I was talking about parenting one day, and this guy called my show. And he goes, Mac, he said, I can't even talk about it anymore. He said my grandson took a swing at his grandmother. He's 4. She told him to stop doing something, and she got down on a knee to explain it, and he took a swing at her. I was like, I said, then what happened? He said, well, we left. My daughter didn't get pissed at him. She scolded him a little bit, and I was just watching her. And I looked at my wife, and I said, we need to leave. And so I told him, it's your fault. You raised your daughter to think that that's like the way to handle that. Yeah, you screwed it up. He's like, we didn't raise our daughter like that. She started reading parenting books. I said, there you go. The road to hell. How to screw up a kid? Read a parenting book. Yeah. Oh, their little feelings will be hurt and blah, 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 blah. I didn't plan this because I didn't plan on Colleen coming in here and like giving us an audiogram of her lungs this morning. Okay. But yesterday as I was watching the news, I saw these very emotional people get on and talked about kids being ripped from their parents and blah, blah, blah. Do you know how these kids were living? Do you know the life they were living? Do you see those shelters, the video of the shelters? I'm not saying it's a step up, but it's a step up. Video games, right? Air hockey, 3 square meals a day, a bed, inside, air conditioning, a playground. Like, what is this? Am I in heaven? I'm in kid heaven right now. Well, your parents aren't here. Yeah, it's all right. It's all right, dog. I'm good with it. Yeah, life's good. I've got clothes. I've got shoes, man. And if I don't like these shoes, I can go get another pair in that pile. Right? Truth is about, it's amazing how many people you see on TV don't understand the legal issues down on the border. Okay? And here's what they are. There's some kind of decision that says you can only hold minors for 20 days. I'm curious about the rational basis for 20 days. All right? So the parents are detained. The kids can only be held for 20 days. Okay, so what do you do? So previous administrations have gone back and forth. Detaining families is too horrible. So what's the alternative? a program known as Catch and Release. So you you come here, and after we look at all the different options available to the government of the United States of America, because we're a nation of laws, the only course of action when families are accompanied by minors seeking asylum, I think that's the caveat, they're seeking asylum, that they have to come, we have to release them, because what we're doing is too inhumane to keep them incarcerated just because they've broken our laws. But here's the cherry on top of the whole thing. I'm not sure the period of time. I want to say maybe since 214, 500,000 quote unquote family units have gone through this process. 97% do not show up for their hearing. Okay. That's called the easy way. It's called the easy way into the United States. Now, what's interesting about the issue is the Trump administration had to war game this thing. Okay, we're going to start retaining this. How many people possibly are we going to have to house, and where do we house them? And we're certainly going to face at some point a legal challenge when this thing goes public and there's going to be great discussion about it. Okay, we're going to face a legal challenge. Okay, so the president issues his executive order saying that families will be held together. So now we're going to shuffle the deck and families are going to stay together somehow. Okay. All right. So we do that. But here's the deal. They can't be held indefinitely. So the ACLU and various other agencies will join in a lawsuit against the federal government that says, based on, I can't remember the name of the law, that the decision that says 20 days is all you can do. Now, you know, can the federal government appeal to the judge? Yeah. We'd like you to reconsider your decision. And when she says, sorry, I already looked at the case. I've decided 20 days. I'm curious, though, to what the 20 days link to. Is that some kind of clock in a kid's head on a 21st day? This is now my home, and so we can't have that. All right, let's kick them out into the streets of America, where they can be preyed on by additional smugglers and other people like that. So that's a better course of action. Anyway, so that's what will surely happen. So the next step of this thing is the suit, if it's not already filed, gets filed. The judge hears it. And they were yesterday on various commentators I listened to said, you know what, as soon as that suit's filed, she can decide to hear it. And if she's not hearing it, by Friday, she could announce, hey, I'm not hearing it. I will not reconsider the decision. 20 days. Well, you can't process the parent in 20 days. We don't have the infrastructure down there to do that. So now what? So your only recourse is to release these people. That's what it will be. Your only recourse, based on the courts, is to release these people. Now, did Team Trump go down that road to get to the point where they could look at the American people before this midterm election and say, hey, look, I'm trying, but this is the law as our Congress has passed it and the courts have reviewed it. I can't get any help from the Democratic side of the aisle to pass these things. I'm doing my best. Is that what they thought going into it? I don't know. Anyway, but I'm kind of amazed at the number of people that I mean, it seems like the facts tend to escape them. You know, when they talk, and they're national commentators, and they don't seem to understand the 20-day decision, and the gravity of that. And so even the president's executive order, you can't hold them indefinitely. So we'll see where this whole thing goes. One thing is certain: if you listen to Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, they're certainly not going to help. The question is, at some point, does this flip upside down on them? Because the president's pretty good at coming out of the stuff unscathed, and watching it is pretty amazing. The thing I want to talk about today, I've talked a lot. Maybe some people get tired of it, but I've talked about the collision of the USS Fitzgerald, and as I look at military justice, which leaves me scratching my head often. And the show we did last month about Haditha, and we'll do another one this month about Haditha. I was talking to friends of mine that are lawyers, and they were fired up for it. They're like, "Mac, that's cool, man." Because, we don't, in detail, to talk to both prosecutors, defenders, to find out why, to get their thoughts about what should have been done, would be awesome. Because a lot of people don't understand it. In fact, a lot of us sometimes don't understand it. And so I think that'll be the, so those will come. Excuse me. So this morning, as I'm laying in bed, Neil Flynn, as he's prone to, sends me something at 7 in the morning, his time, Eastern time, which is 4 o'clock for me. There's a website called The Other McCain, and there's, it's called The Other McCain, and I don't know, it's run by a guy named Robert Stacy McCain, and his blog sidekick, Smitty, and at the top of it, there's a quote: "One should either write ruthlessly what one believes to be the truth, or else shut up." And it's a quote from a guy named Arthur Koestler. I don't know who Arthur Koestler is, but I'm going to find out here momentarily. So this was sent to Bob Nielsen, and he sent it to me knowing that I talk about this issue. Arthur Koestler, CBE, I don't know what that means, was a Hungarian-British author and journalist. He was born in Budapest. And apart from his early school, was educated in Austria. Born in 1905, died in 1983. He was a member of the Communist Party of Germany. Okay, anyway, that's where that guy is. That's where the quote comes from. Okay, so Nielsen sends me this thing. So I click on it because Bob's a smart guy. Tip: Pentagon covering up the fact that female officers nearly sank a Navy ship. Antennas. I know they talked about the Fitzgerald because I know the story. An anonymous email came over the transom this morning. Okay, so, next question. Transom? Okay, for those of you who are not nautical people, okay, the transom is the flat surface forming the stern of a vessel. Okay, what's the stern? Okay, hold on. Let me put my secret decoder ring on. The bow is the front. The stern is the back. Yeah. Okay, so there's on the back of the ship, there's a horizontal surface. Sometimes it's a beam. Sometimes it's metal. Okay. It reinforces the back end of, so this would be something that came over the back end of the ship. That's normally how mail arrives when you're at sea via helicopter. Okay, so I think that's what he's, so listen to this. And it gets into gender integration and things that the DOD isn't supposed to talk about. And it draws a parallel with the previous case of an F-18 pilot. An F-14 pilot who was killed landing on the Lincoln. Was it the Lincoln? It couldn't have been the Lincoln. Anyway. Hi, Stacy. During the early weeks of the after the USS Fitzgerald was speared by a lumbering Philippine container ship, it was noteworthy that the captain and a couple of admirals were publicly named, but not the actual officer in charge, the officer of the deck. The other person who should have kept the Fitz out of trouble is the person in charge of the Combat Information Center, the tactical action officer. The individual is supposed to be monitoring the combat radar, which can detect a swimmer at a distance of 2 miles. Now, I don't know that that is actually factually correct, but he's making the point, right, that United States Navy radar is the most sophisticated surface radar in the world, okay? Not until a year later, when the final reports were made public and the guilty parties have been court-martialed, does the truth come out. The OOD was named Sarah, and the tactical action officer was named Natalie, and they weren't speaking to each other. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. You know what? Is it exclamation point or exclamation mark? Right? If you know the answer to that, please tell me, because I don't rightly know. Is it a point or is it a mark? Okay? The tactical action officer would normally be in near constant communication with the OOD, but there is no record of any communication between them their entire shift. Exclamation mark. Okay, so let me stop. So in Marine Corps language, it would be the person that is running your combat operations center and that person not talking to the OPSO, the current operations officer, the operations officer, or the CO, whoever those was, happened to be placed in the billet, right? So you have this constant conversation and movement of information as situations change, making sure that, you know, people know what's going on. And that's just the way you do it. Okay? So according to this letter, they didn't speak the entire ship. And so what's going on is on the bridge, right? You got the windows, you're driving the ship, you got the helmsman, you got different displays up. You have the navigator up there, okay? And then you got the enlisted sailors that are assisting the navigator, right? So and then you're also talking to the Combat Information Center, which is down in the center of the ship. The tactical action officer runs the Combat Information Center. Okay, that person is looking at the different radar arrays, subsurface, surface, and air. Right, and is talking to and is feeding information to the officer of the deck who's driving the ship. Okay, so fighting the ship, you have to take into account three dimensions: below the water, the surface, and then in the air. The officer of the deck drives the ship, so you can see the person that would actually should know the most about the situation the ship is in. May or may not be the officer of the deck. That's the ship driver, okay? Which is a big deal. Driving the ship's a big deal, obviously. The person down in the combat information center, the tactical action officer, that person is looking for submarines, looking for surface vessels, and also looking for aircraft. And has that picture in an array in front of them of screens, okay? And so there's a constant discussion between the two, you know, come to this course, you know, recommend this, recommend that, blah, 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 blah. All right. So back to the email. Another fun fact, in the Navy that won World War II, the damage control officers were usually some of the biggest and strongest men aboard, able to close hatches, shore up damage areas with timbers. Timbers are 4x4s, right? Etc. The Fitz's damage control officer was also a woman, and she never left the bridge. She handled the aftermath of the accident remotely without lifting a finger herself. Look it up. The OD was Sarah Kopic. The tactical action officer was Natalie Combs. When I noticed last year that they were doing all they could to keep the OD's name out of the headlines, I speculated to my son that it was a she. Turns out all the key people, except one officer in CIC, were female. The one in CIC was the surface, was in charge of the surface plot. So he was in charge of knowing where all the surface ships were around the Fitzgerald that night. Indeed, I did some searching. Lieutenant Kopic pled guilty to dereliction of duty. Lieutenant Combs faced a hearing last month. And then here's an excerpt from that. Now, let me just say this. Lieutenant Kopic is the one I told you. She's the one that was originally, after her negligence, okay, after her negligence leads to the death of seven sailors. And again, what is her negligence? At the least, she doesn't sound the collision alarm or go to general quarters before she drives the Fitzgerald into a lumbering Philippine container ship. It is the height of incompetence. But she's somehow or other being made a victim. And I'm gonna play some audio for you this morning that she, I mean, from a family member. And, you know, he says she's a victim. Okay. I hope I can find that. In an 11-hour hearing, prosecutors painted a picture of Lieutenant Iron Woodley, the ship's surface warfare coordinator, and Lieutenant Natalie Combs, tactical action officers, as failing at their jobs, not using the tools at their disposal properly, and not communicating adequately. They became complacent with faulty equipment and did not seek to get it fixed. And they failed to communicate with the bridge, the prosecution argued. Had they done those things, the government contended, they would have been able to avert the collision. That two of the officers, Kopic and Combs, involved in this fatal incident were female suggests that discipline and training standards have been lowered for the sake of gender integration, which was a major policy push of the Pentagon during the Obama administration. It could be that senior officers, knowing their promotions may hinge on enthusiastic support for gender integration, are reluctant to enforce standards for the women under their command. And then it draws a parallel to a pretty famous incident in 1994 when an F-18 crashed. The pilot at the time was a Navy, I think she was a Lieutenant JG. Her name was Kara Holtgren. The investigation showed that Holtgren had been allowed to proceed in her training after Eris. It would have meant a washout for any male pilot. But the Clinton administration was pushing for female fighter pilots, which resulted in a competition between the Navy and the Air Force to put women into combat roles. It was not necessary to believe that A, women shouldn't be fighter pilots in order to believe B, lowering standards for the sake of quotas is a bad idea. Of course, you may believe both A and B, but it is B that gets people killed. It seems obvious that the Pentagon, and then in parentheses, and the liberal media sought to suppress full knowledge of what happened to the Fitzgerald in the immediate aftermath of the June 2017 incident that killed seven sailors, in the same way the details of Kara Holtgren's death were suppressed. It took investigative reporters like Rowan Scarborough of the Washington Times a lot of hard work to find out what actually happened to Holtgren. Let's hope other reporters will dig into what's happening in our military with the gender integration agenda of the Pentagon. So Nielsen bombs out on me at 4 a.m. So now I'm disturbed. Okay, because I've said this before. I still have not seen an accounting of what happened that night. This is the first time I've ever seen, and maybe I missed it in the investigation, but this is the first time I've ever seen that the TAO didn't speak to the officer of the deck that night. And then how in God's name this whole thing, you know, and so I emailed these guys. Hey, and I asked them a series of questions. One, can you validate that they didn't speak that night? Why did they speak? Supreme Court just decided that states can force online shoppers to pay sales tax. I think that's a good deal. I think there was a day when we had to encourage the growth of online, and so I think for that reason, but I think that day has come and gone. Online retailers have an incredible advantage. And so the argument against this would is it's too hard. Municipalities, zip codes have their own. Cities have their own sales taxes. So how, as a vendor, do you comply with all of that? Good question. Well, I'll be curious to see how it's implemented, but that is breaking news from the Supreme Court of the United States. SCOTUS, as it's known. So I asked them a series of questions, and we'll see if we get answers. But, it is a head-scratcher to me, and I would hope that the Navy is not trying to cover this up. If that's what ultimately it is, if it's a case of the Navy was too concerned with advancing female officers and not holding, because that's been the whole argument. And let me tell you, I've heard stories, I've had people email me stories, and I'm not even going to repeat them, because I'm not going to repeat them. Yeah, but it has to do with female Marines, officers, and people looking the other way, or in some cases, people specifically helping them. Well, Mac, how would somebody help them? How about carrying their pack? How about switching packs with them so they could get through a hike? What? What do you mean? Who would do that? How about somebody that wasn't on the staff but was in high enough rank to go out on a problem that night? Happened to be there. Happened to have a lighter pack. So I'm not going to name, you know, why do that? Well, it's important that we integrate, do gender integration. But we got assured that the standards weren't going to be compromised. And the standards have been changed, no doubt, and they've been lowered. So is this what happened in the case of the Navy, and the Army's just and the Navy's just not fessing up to it? The worst thing you can do in this kind of stuff is not tell the truth. And as you know, it's interesting, as I look at as I have conversations with different officers about Haditha, I'm less concerned about, you know, what happened in the city than the institution's reaction to it. How could 2nd Marine Division not investigate it? How, for the sake of the institution, was it not investigated? Because that's what investigations do. They get to the truth. They make sure the institution is doing due diligence. The Marine Corps was done incredible harm by a major general and a lieutenant general who were in charge of 2MEF and the 2nd Marine Division at the time. The Marine Corps was done irreparable harm because they didn't do their job. They failed the institution. They also failed the Marines below them, because there were Marines below them that did what they were supposed to do, but because there was no investigation, they got later caught up in a broader net and got charged with things that they weren't guilty of. But because there was no investigation, there wasn't the due diligence. So to me, military justice, not so sure, man. Not so sure. And so it'll be interesting. When I read this article, you want to know why it made sense to me? That the Navy doesn't want to throw this out and doesn't want to have this issue be the issue? So I'll paint you a picture of the McCain. The picture of the Fitzgerald is you have the officer of the deck not talking to the tactical action officer, she's supposed to, if any of her standing orders are violated, wake up the captain of the ship. He's asleep just off the bridge in his in-port quarters. She never wakes him up. They run into another ship. He's hanging off the side of the ship. He's being charged. He was charged with negligent homicide. And he said, I'll go to court-martial. Now, it'll be interesting because they're calling the Navy's bluff. We're going to throw the carcass. We're going to throw everything in front of the American public. And we're going to drag your shit through the street. You want to play this game with us? There were standing orders on the bridge that she violated. All right? The female lieutenant down in CIC that did not speak to her failed in her job. Okay? Either to get it fixed, to bring it to the appropriate people's attention, to make sure, in short, for instance, if I'm the tactical action officer down there and my radar, my close-in radar isn't working, it's my responsibility to send other sailors up to the 09 level, whatever level it is that you have, right? And I think even levels go down and odd levels go up. But anyway, I think that's the case. So anyway, on a ship, that's how you say when somebody says the 04 level, you know that's going down. Right? Let me look that up for you. So it's not the officer of the deck's responsibility to post that person, although the officer of the deck could certainly do it. It's my responsibility. So I essentially have a non-effective, let's just say for the sake of discussion, I have a non-effective short-range radar. Okay, guess what? I've got binoculars, I've got thermal devices, I've got night vision devices, all at my disposal to put people up on the bridge, up on the quote unquote crow's nest, up on the signal bridge, and they report what they see. I go up there and I have three of them. Let's go get up there, boys and girls. Take your coats. It's gonna be cold tonight. We'll rotate every 2 hours. Okay, need to know what you see, and that's how we'll track this stuff. Been done for centuries like that. That's my responsibility. If I can't see, what is my job? To shut off, not communicate with the officer of the deck? So again, is that the story that the Navy doesn't want told? I'm not sure. How are decks numbered on U.S. Navy ships? Compartment designation deck numbering system. I love this stuff. Compartments, main deck, boiler. I think I'm wrong. So when you go down, it's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that goes down. When you go up, it's the 01, 02, 03, 04. Damn it. I was close. All right. So we're gonna talk about news here. And then I think we're gonna talk about transitions today, specifically resumes. Okay. I got an email the other day. And so you're probably gonna hear Linda Field. And the bottom line is if you're transitioning, if you're out of the Marine Corps, okay, and even if you've been out for 20 years, don't write your own resume, okay? Get out of that business. Go hire a professional. Don't be a dumbass. Don't write your own resume. There's too much technical writing involved in them these days because your resume is going to get scanned, okay? It's going to go into a database with keywords. If you're not savvy to that and savvy to what they want, guess what? You're not going to get done. You're not going to get an interview done. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. So sit back, relax, enjoy the morning. Thanks for making All Marine Radio part of it. And the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning. This is dedicated to everybody who tries to do it right out there, all right? And for those of you, and again, the narrative, I'll read you this email. Mac, the narrative that's being painted of the Navy is of an organization so absorbed by social change and social engineering and social issues that it neglects basic seamanship. Of all the things that I've heard you discuss, to me, the thing that I don't understand is how nobody on the bridge warned the crew. Collision, general quarters, either one of those options. Nobody did that. For the life of me, I don't understand that. How could that actually happen? So, the forensics of what happened need to come out. I would think the bare bones should come out. But how the alarm got sounded, in this case not sounded, is something that I simply can't get over. Yeah, I agree. Like you can't, you know what, you really can't. And then he goes on. He said to me, this has always been the flaw when we try to do something like gender integration and we say the standard isn't going to be lowered, but everybody knows that if you start washing out women, you're going to be in trouble. And suppose you're just washing them out because they don't meet the standard. Do you think the admiral's going to be okay with that? Oh, there's McNamara over there failing them all. When they all failed? No, I don't. My own opinion, he's not going to be happy with that. So the picture that it paints is a Navy obsessed by social issues and the advancement of females, lowering their standards to the point where 17 sailors have been killed. Now, what happened to the other 10 sailors, to my understanding, is not related to gender integration. So I don't think it's fair to lay that at that. However, the lack of training certainly could be laid at that. To that end, I saw an article this morning on a website that I heard mentioned on your program. If you go check out USNI News, there's an article in there that says the Navy has 23 different steering control systems on their ships. Yeah. No, you know, can I, and then he concludes, I'll conclude the email. Seems crazy to me. Enjoy the program. The Navy, every ship is unique. I remember when I got on the Ranger, and I was talking to my counterparts about, and they were very much about getting their quote unquote quals, right? Their damage control qual, their this, their that, blah 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 blah, so they could become full up round, you know, part of their on the job training. So they had to get all these quals, you know. Junior officer of the deck qualified, and then they stand watch there, and they do it for so long, and then they try to get officer of the deck qualified. So I said, well, aren't these systems all the same? I mean, you learn them in school, and they looked, and they're like, no, every ship's different. Like some of the chiefs on this ship, you know, they've been on this ship, you know, have done two or three different tours on this ship. They know it's fresh water system. That's what they do. Its fresh water system is unique to the Ranger. I said, what? They said, yep. So, anyway, pretty interesting stuff. You know, but again, what it paints, the picture that it paints of the Navy, if you go ahead and you broaden the lens, you know, it's not a good picture. It's not a good picture. So it'll be interesting, and I need to do more investigation. So, and I'll do that. But this is dedicated to the people that tried to do the right thing, right? And that is, look, the people that sleep below deck in the United States Navy, they don't deserve to die in their sleep. They don't deserve to drown in their sleep. Okay, they deserve competent leadership, not only on the bridge and in CIC, of the ship, of the squadrons, of the fleets, all of that. People that are unafraid of the truth. And if the truth is she can't do it, then guess what? You gotta man up and you gotta say that. Or you gotta woman up and you gotta say that. She's not good enough. 'Cause this ain't right. So, question is the Navy covering that up? And again, my instinct, and again, I base it on one data point, when you kill seven people through your own negligence, you don't hit a collision alarm or go to general quarters, and you receive non-judicial punishment, which is the weakest form of discipline in the American military, something's wrong with that picture. So, to everybody who does it right, this is for you.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Wow. My apologies. I'm getting over my cold. Almost done. Currently still hot on the East Coast. Mostly cloudy in 81 in Quantico. Mostly sunny in 87 at Camp Lejeune. Mostly sunny in 86 in Granbury, Texas. Sunny in 67 in Big Timber, Montana. Sunny in 86 in 29 Palms. Yikes. When it's close to 90 before 8 o'clock in the morning, you get some out there. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 64. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 82. Afghanistan, Mars is still over 100. 101 right now, late in the day in Afghanistan. Let's look at your weather. We'll continue. We'll take a look at the news coming up. Gunner's going to join us today. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up on Thursday, right after this.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.